May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Celebrity Jennifer Aniston recently talked about her childlessness, telling Allure magazine that some 20 years ago, she was trying hard to have children, even using in vitro fertilization. Of course, Aniston is not alone in wanting, but even with medical intervention, being unable to conceive children. In this year's Midweek Advent series, Old Testament Divine Birth Announcements, we have heard of the barrenness of Sarah and Manoah's wife. And in tonight's reading, we heard the divinely inspired author of 1 Samuel twice refer to the Lord's having closed Hannah's womb. And so we might also think of Leah and Rachel, each of whose wombs the Lord is said to have opened. Leah and Rachel essentially competed with each other to produce children for Isaac. Leah and Rachel essentially were in a situation not that unlike that we heard of tonight, involving Hannah and Peninnah, who, with their husband Elkanah, were in rivals for having children. As we heard, Eli the priest eventually both told Hannah and Peninnah to go in peace. And at the time, he made a statement about the God of Israel's granting her petition. Some Bible translators and commentators take that statement not as a prophecy or prediction, but as a wish or prayer, which God graciously fulfilled. And indeed, what we know of Eli might suggest that God had not revealed Samuel's birth to Eli. But other commentators nevertheless take Eli's statement as God's word that could not fail of fulfillment, and so as a promise to be received by Hannah and trusted as she appeared to receive it and trust it. She went her way and ate and no longer was sad. For our purposes tonight, we are taking Eli's statement as the fourth and final of our Old Testament divine birth announcements that points forward to the birth of the Savior and serves our focus, both on our repenting of our sins and on our receiving God's forgiveness by grace through faith in that Savior, Jesus Christ. In tonight's reading, we are told, without comment, that Elkanah had two wives, but we are not told why he had two wives. Bible commentators sometimes think that Elkanah only took Peninnah as his second wife because Hannah, his first wife, was barren, because that barrenness thwarted Elkanah's continuing his family line. To be sure, like the conflict between barren Sarah and her handmaid Hagar, with whom Abraham fathered Ishmael, there was conflict between Hannah and Peninnah. As we heard, at least every year when they would go up to Shiloh to worship and sacrifice, when there apparently was a contrast between Elkanah's greater love for Hannah and his love for Peninnah, but also a contrast between Peninnah's sons and daughters and Hannah's barrenness. Then Peninnah would provoke Hannah grievously to irritate her, perhaps even doing so sacrilegiously. Barrenness was seen as the greatest possible disgrace among women. Not only did Peninnah pick on Hannah, but Hannah herself clearly was not content with her circumstances and situation, maybe even questioning whether God was blessing her at all. Though, other than Eli's wrong conclusions about Hannah, tonight's reading sounds no note of judgment against Hannah, nor does it give any other explanation as to why the Lord had closed Hannah's womb. Though we might think of her initial barrenness being so that the works of God eventually might be displayed in her, and that God might be glorified through her. Like Peninnah, you and I might pick on other people who have not been blessed as we have been blessed. Like Eli, you and I might come to wrong conclusions about others based on our superficial assessment of what we might misperceive as the facts of the case. Like Hannah, you and I might not be content with our circumstances and situations, maybe even questioning whether God is blessing us at all. Like all of them, Holy Scripture makes clear that all of us both are sinful by nature and commit countless actual sins, things that we fail to think, say, and do that we should, and things that we think, say, and do that we should not. We deserve nothing from God except death here and now and torment in hell for eternity, apart from God's calling us and so enabling us to turn from our sin, to trust God to forgive our sin, and to want to stop sinning. As great of a judge or deliverer, prophet and effected priest as Elkanah and Hannah's son Samuel went on to be, God and Mary's son Jesus is greater. Jesus is the greatest prophet, priest, and king. As the greatest prophet, Jesus personally preached and validated his word with miraculous signs, especially his own resurrection from the dead. As the greatest priest, Jesus perfectly fulfilled God's word in our stead and sacrificed himself for our sins, dying on the cross in our place, the death that we deserved. As the greatest king, Jesus rules over all creation, but governs and protects especially his church on earth. We might say that ultimately God's word through Eli created faith in Hannah that received God's blessings as he remembered her, that is, graciously acted to bless her. Likewise, out of God's love, mercy, and grace, God's word through our pastors creates faith in us that receives God's forgiveness through his means of grace. This year, considering the four Old Testament divine birth announcements, you may have noticed that the Lord God himself, who walked with the man and the woman in the cool of the day in the garden, gave the first announcement to Eve. That the angel of the Lord, who appeared as a man, gave the second and third announcements to Abraham and to Manoah's wife. And that the priest Eli gave the fourth announcement to Hannah. Yet whether spoken directly or spoken through another, the Lord is still speaking, as the Lord speaks through his word in our time, to groups such as this one, through the word read and preached, and his word applied to individuals, with the water of holy baptism, with the pastor's touch in holy absolution, and with the bread and wine of the sacrament of the altar, that are Christ's body given for us and his blood shed for us. Samuel, no doubt, was circumcised and brought into the covenant people of God, as we are baptized and brought into God's family. And Samuel, at least for a time, could confess his sins to the priest Eli, for the sake of absolution. And yet tonight's reading draws our attention especially to Elkanah and his family's partaking of the sacrifice in order to receive the blessings of the sacrifice. As we, in the sacrament of the altar, partake of the body of Christ and the blood of Christ, who sacrificed himself for us, that we might receive the blessings of forgiveness and so also life and salvation. In tonight's reading, Hannah would not eat at first, but after the Lord's word from Eli to her and her consent to it, then Hannah ate. As for her with that sacrificial food, so for us with this sacrificial food. Here we have fellowship with and communion with our God and with those who believe and confess as we do. In the course of their regular worship at Shiloh, Hannah eventually fulfilled her vow to give Samuel to the service of the Lord, apparently for him to be a lifelong Nazarite, like Samson before him and John the Baptizer after him. At that time, Hannah prayed the song that we sang tonight as the office hymn, which expresses the gracious great reversal that God accomplishes. A song that's arguably echoed in the song that the Virgin Mary sang after she consented to the Lord's word and was blessed with Jesus in her womb, which song we'll sing in a few moments. Not ultimately because she prayed for them, but because of God's grace, Hannah eventually had three other sons and two daughters, though we do not know if those children were fewer or more than those that Peninnah had, and in the end, it doesn't matter. Believers desiring a spouse and children today should know that whether or not they receive a spouse and children, God has not withdrawn his favor from them. For those desiring children, we pray for patience and understanding, and for a child or children as God wills. For those who are unable to conceive, we pray for grace to accept God's will, and for faith to cast all of their cares on God who cares for them. God promises to and does set the solitary in families. And like Hannah and Mary before us, we consent to God's word and will in all regards. And God's providential control over things for our benefit does not fail to achieve his purposes. Celebrity Jennifer Aniston reportedly has resigned herself to not having children, and some of us may do the same. Like St. Paul, we can be content in all circumstances and situations through him who strengthens us. Most importantly, as tonight's additional psalm noted, we receive righteousness from the God of our salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. This year's consideration of Old Testament divine birth announcements regarding Cain, Isaac, Samson, and Samuel has pointed us forward to the birth of our Savior and helped us focus both on our repenting of our sins and on our receiving God's forgiveness by grace through faith in that Savior, Jesus Christ. May God preserve us in that repentance and faith in him until the end. Amen. Amen.